We had the rules that the Republicans have, I'd already be the nominee. If they had our rules, they'd still be fighting it out.
Senator Clinton, right on the math, but is she wrong on the politics? Coming up in less than 10 minutes, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, among other things, will ask what he thinks Senator Clinton should do now. But first, we'll get a take from Washington Post Group syndicated columnist Marie Coco. About a month ago, she wrote a column about all these men in politics and the media who are unfairly trying to shove Clinton out of the race, as she saw it. So welcome back, Marie, and what do you think now?
Well, I think the situation has changed. By the way, when I wrote the column you were referring to, it was before the Pennsylvania primary,
right?
Which, as we know, not only was probably one of the low points of the Obama campaign, but then managed to touch off several weeks of low for his campaign. So, I think anyone who looks back fairly at that moment in time, when people like Pat Leahy were trying to shove Hillary out. Sees, you know, we can see the contours of this situation developing in the Democratic Party, I think more clearly because Clinton stayed in Pennsylvania. But the question is now, and things have changed in the sense that the mathematical odds have become certainly more challenging for Senator Clinton. But I want to go back to the historical record a little bit on nomination fights. These things have never ended because the media said it's time to end it. And of course, the nomination fight of all nomination fights in the Democratic Party in recent history was in 1980, when Ted Kennedy, now obviously an enormous influential Obama supporter, challenged a sitting president, Jimmy Carter, for the nomination. And I want to read you out of an encyclopedia, a Congressional Quarterly Encyclopedia account of that convention.
Okay.
When it became apparent that Kennedy had not won in the primaries and caucuses the delegate support he needed, he turned his efforts to prying the nomination away from the president at the convention. Now, this was prying it away from a sitting president at the convention. And in fact, what Kennedy did was he launched a floor fight over the rules that bound the delegates to the way the primaries and caucuses had come out. I am pointing this out only to say that I don't believe Hillary Clinton will cause a big brouhaha at the convention.
She could over Florida and Michigan.
Well, that's going to be settled on May 31st. There is a rules committee meeting. There is some kind of, you know, poobah meeting scheduled on May 31st at the DNC to start settling this question of Florida and Michigan. Today's news out of Michigan, by the way, is that the Democrats there are settling on an allocation formula that they are going to supposedly present as the Michigan Democratic Party's position on how those delegates should be allocated. And frankly, they take delegates away from Senator Clinton and give some to Senator Obama. But let's go back to this issue of past conventions. We all know that there was a bloody, bruising, damaging fight in 1980 waged by Ted Kennedy and his supporters.
And 1980 did not end well for the Democrats.
That's
in November.
Correct. And I don't expect Hillary Clinton to do this, okay?
Right.
Then now fast forward to 1984. Walter Mondale did not secure the delegates needed for the nomination until June. He was, in fact, in June, he was still battling both Gary Hart and Jesse Jackson. Until the final primary on June 5th, which happened to be New Jersey. And then I think he was still a few delegates short.
So what's the lesson for this year, in your opinion?
The lesson for this year, I think, is two things. We have become used to, partly because of the media culture and because of the money now that's spent in campaigns and because of the lessons that both parties have learned. Don't forget, in 1980, the Republicans also had a bit of a fratricidal fight between the emerging forces of Reagan conservatism and the old blue blood New England, New York, moderate Rockefeller Republican wing, establishment wing, represented at the time by the first George Bush. So these things are not unprecedented. What we've become used to, though, and perhaps correctly so, in the interest of both parties, is trying to settle these contests early because there's so much money that needs to be raised, because the media environment all summer almost demands that you have a nominee. So if you look back in fairly recent history, you do see this history of intra-party fighting, and it's only been really since the Bill Clinton election.
Funny enough.
In 1992, when the Democrats went in really smoothly. I covered the 1988 campaign, where Michael Dukakis had come out of the California primary, which was then in June, and had the nomination just about in hand. But what Jesse Jackson had done was win a lot of southern states on the strength of strong support among African Americans. He had registered hundreds of thousands of new African American voters. He had mobilized the African American voting community in a way that had not been done before. And frankly, I spent what I recall as being about, it seemed like forever, but there were many, many, many late nights in the lobby of the Los Angeles Hilton mm-hmm. where the Jackson people and the Dukakis people were holed up in rooms upstairs trying to negotiate an answer to a question that became known in the headlines as, what does Jesse want? Well, it turns out that what Jesse wanted and what he got are the delegate selection rules that the Democrats have now, with all of this slicing and dicing and proportionality and proportions of proportions and extra votes for this and extra delegates for that. A situation that led in Texas, for example, to Hillary Clinton winning the primary, but Barack Obama winning the most delegates because of the caucus.
Right. Interesting, because, and we're expecting Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid in about 2 minutes. Washington Post syndicated, Writers Group syndicated columnist Marie Coco with us until then with some really interesting historical perspective on all this. It goes back to the clip that we played at the top where Clinton said, if the Democrats had the rules that the Republicans have this year, she would be the nominee. And if they had the rules that the Democrats have, they'd still be squabbling. Do you accept that?
Well, I think she's true in a factual sense, but I think it's a pretty poor political argument because Democrats are not Republicans. They're anything but. And this just incenses the Obama people further, because they think, as the late Paul Wellstone said, they believe they are the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. Which leads me to, I think, what is the more important point for Democrats to be worrying about. It's not when Clinton gets out or how she gets out. It's what happens to this really awful split that has emerged in the party, where the reason Barack Obama, for all of his success, for all of his delegates, the reason he does not have the nomination in hand right now is that the party has not united behind him. Roughly half the voters have voted for Hillary Clinton. I spoke to a superdelegate last week. I spoke to this person on the night of the Pennsylvania primary before the results were in. And this person said, the bottom line for me is I do not see how the Democratic Party can hand the nomination to a candidate who has lost California, Massachusetts, New York, Florida, Pennsylvania, Texas, Ohio, and Michigan.
So in about 30 seconds, is there a path to that unity, in your opinion?
I don't see one, because, frankly, I don't believe that Clinton should be on the ticket. I think for her, that would be not a good political move. I think for Obama, it doesn't give him what he needs. He spent a lot of time in these last primaries disparaging the experience that she brings to the table from her first lady years. Those clips will all come back to haunt him if he tries to tout her as the experienced, steady hand. His supporters view her as the old Washington, the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good fit.
Do you think she's negotiating for anything right now before deciding to get out?
No, I don't, actually. I would be very surprised at that, because I think that's a sign of weakness, and she doesn't want to show any more weakness than she's already showing. But I have to tell you, I have known her a very long time. She's not delusional, and she's not dumb. And I think what Senator Clinton will do is ultimately, you know, let me just add one last thing. For all of the sensitivity and all of the excitement about Barack Obama being the first African-American with a shot at the presidency, do not forget that women are an equal bulwark for the Democratic primary. And I do know Hillary Clinton well enough to know that she does view her candidacy as historic, and that millions and millions and millions of women who have voted for her in state after state after state have got just as much of an emotional stake in her candidacy as Obama supporters do. So she will try, I think, to satisfy that historical moment somehow, as well as preserving, as her husband once famously said, preserving her his viability within the system.
Yeah.
I don't think this
would that mean? What would that look like?
I don't know. I mean, I think to be honest with you, if I cannot speak for Senator Clinton. If I were Senator Clinton, I would not accept the vice presidency. You know, she already played second fiddle in the White House for 8 years. I think a lot of women would be offended by it, frankly. We have a nominee who has far less experience than Senator Clinton in public life. His tenure in the Senate was 1 year before he started running for president. I think there's sort of a raw wound on that point. I don't know what it would look like. I would expect her to return to the Senate, and what happens from there, I think, is anyone's guess. But, you know, one of the problems she is going to have if she seeks elective office again is this rift that's opened up between her and African-American voters. And any Democrat seeking office pretty much anywhere needs to have that loyal base of support. And so she's got some fence mending to do of her own.
Marie Coco, Washington Post writer, syndicated columnist, thank you so much.
Thank you.